the book accelerator program can enjoy it at some point. But I was congratulating people for being on the live call because, Denise, you and I both know that those who win are those who show up. And sometimes we have to be inconvenient to show up. A lot of times people say, oh, it's not convenient right now for me to be on the live call. And I get that in some cases, but in other cases it's because they're too busy playing around on social media and not using social media effectively. But I want to give people a little background on you and I. We actually met probably online well over 12 years ago, and we communicated back and forth, and we were kind of keeping an eye on each other like, huh, you know, who's this person? And I bought one of your programs. It was when you were the Blog Squad.
Right.
And, yeah, and that's back
that
when.
2005, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We started that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no,
so,
yeah, 2005, yeah.
And I knew of you before that time, but I finally thought, you know, this woman really knows what she's talking about. I invested in your program, and it was brilliant. And I, like you, I tend to over-deliver, which I think is a really great thing. And so somehow we hooked up, and then we met face-to-face at a conference in Los Angeles. It was Mark Victor Hansen, I believe, that was putting it on. And it was really interesting because we were both kind of scouting each other out to make sure that we were the real deal. And we set a goal, and I share this with people because I want you to know what's possible when you have the right relationships and when you really get focused on what you're doing. And this is what Denise is going to talk about today, is that we both were doing teleseminars. We were doing let's see, it says a huge community, it's not recording, recording status in progress, okay. And at that time, I think I was averaging about $10,000 per teleseminar that I was doing. This was before too many people were doing webinars. And you were kind of doing the same thing. It's like we were hitting a home run, and we partnered together, and we decided we wanted to break our own records and hit $20,000, and we wanted to have something like 700 people register for the teleseminar, and we knew what our goals were, and we worked really hard at it. Now, what was interesting is I had partnered with other people, and at one point I was thinking, I'm not doing enough because this is like way too easy. And I said to you, am I doing enough? And you said, well, I was kind of thinking the same thing. It was the first time I think either of us had really partnered with people who were giving 100%.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's important for people to really hear that, because oftentimes people play half measures. They play partially. They don't go full out. And the way you're going to succeed in the world of online marketing is to play full out. Now, Denise, as I mentioned, has been around for a long time. She's one of the original online marketers. And I say that with so much respect, because I've seen people come and go. I've seen people, as soon as they hit a roadblock, they give up. And you, as well as me, Denise, we've hit roadblocks. We've had times where the money was just pouring in, and then all of a sudden it just, like, died out. With this one event that we did come to $19,500. We had over 700 people who signed up, and we hit a home run with it. It was kind of the start of a good working relationship. But what I see is that people hit those roadblocks because, one, they haven't built a community. They are going in it for the quick fix, and they're not in it for the long term. If you're going to be in business online, you better be in it for the long term, and you better know how to manage your state. And one way to do that is by building community. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Denise, to give an introduction any way you want to, and then from there, let's have a conversation.
Okay. Well, as Kathleen said, I've been doing this online business stuff since 1996, and yes, I lived in a rural part of Canada, and we had one dial-up line, and we were trying, my ex-husband and I were trying to, you know, build a business, which we did, you know, finally grew a six-figure business over about 6 years, but I just turned to the internet, and it was pretty new at that time. But since then, I've created different iterations of what I'm doing now, like several different businesses, all focused on online marketing, digital marketing. Now is, you know, the term du jour. But I have been doing this for a long time. I had a company with a partner called the Blog Squad for a long time. We were early adopters of blogging, and that really catapulted us to where we got to. And I've been working with hundreds of authors and creative professionals, online entrepreneurs around the world, to help them build their business and strategically use social marketing to get more visibility, traffic, leads, customers, opportunities. And I'm an early adopter and an active experimenter. And what I like to really support online entrepreneurs to do is to embrace the adventure of business and experiment and try things, because nothing stays the same on the internet. Like life, everything's changing all the time. And if you are open to trying new things and testing them and embracing it with a positive mindset, then you're going to grow and your business is going to grow. If you are fighting it, then it's going to be really a drag and you won't want to do it. So that's where I come from, is like, this is all a big adventure, and just like, let's have fun with it and try it. And if something doesn't work, then you say, okay, that didn't work, and try something new. So, I kind of pulled all that out from my own personal experience of being an adventurer in life and travel. And I, about 4 years ago said, wait a minute, why aren't I combining these things? The adventure piece, because I've traveled all over the world too. So I put it together. Adventures in Visibility is my business now.
And I remember when you made that change, and it was like, oh my gosh, that's so exciting, because you've been to places like Peru, India.
Yeah.
Where have you been? What are some of the locations you've been to?
Well, I've been to Peru 3 times in the last few years, because I really fell in love with that country, and I love the Andes, so I go trekking. And last year I lived for a month in Cusco, because I wanted to try the laptop lifestyle. And that was just amazing. India, yeah. And I've been all over Europe. I've been in Asia. I was in China in 1979, before most people were allowed to go to China. I travel a lot.
Well, and I think it's interesting, because a lot of people will look at someone like you and say, oh, you're so lucky. And you and I both know luck has nothing to do with
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, we make conscious choices, and the beauty of the internet is that there are pockets of people who are interested in what we're doing. For example, like your adventures in invisibility, mm-hmm. there are people who will follow you specifically because of the fact that you're an adventurous type person, where other
right.
people say, oh, that's too off the wall for me. I was in a discussion on a Facebook group, and this really leads into, the discussion I want to have about building community. My good friend Brian G. Johnson, I'm sure you know who he is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It just outrageously smart guy and outrageous guy. He's really off the wall, and he's, like many of us, very ADHD. And somebody criticized him for his humor, and so there was a whole thread around that. And he was pretty frustrated with that, and he was kind of distraught over apparently what this person said. And a lot of us came to his defense and said, Brian, don't lose your edge, don't lose who you are. And let's talk about people's branding and really being who they are as a way to build community. Because prior to that time, you were somewhat conservative in the way that you were presenting information. Then all of a sudden, you're like trekking in the Andes, and I'm like, right on, this is so exciting. Oh, I want to do that. And so talk to me about, and to everybody, about the fact that you made this conscious choice to change your branding to really honor who you are and how it's helped you build community.
Yeah, well, you're right. I had a more conservative approach because, I came up in the days when, with business, you had a business persona, and, I had a look and a feel and all that stuff. And I had my boundaries of what I would discuss and how I would present myself. And then I had this epiphany when I was hiking in the Andes, and it just was like, this is the way I want to live my life every single day. I felt joy every single day when I was hiking, and it was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And I was like, I can't separate this anymore, because this is how I am when I'm not online, is I'm trying things. I'm, you know, doing half marathons, and, you know, they're really hard, but I do them anyway. Or, you know, I'm traveling. And I just thought, you know, how do I combine this? I did work with a business coach on figuring out, you know, how, what that would look like. But what it came down to was I just had to be, I mean, it sounds so silly, but I just had to bring it all together. There's no separation between personal and business, really. And especially now with social media, you know, being so prevalent and sharing, you know, whatever you choose to share. I don't share everything, but I share a lot. So it was about coming up with, I didn't change the work I was doing. I just changed how I talk about the work and how I revealed myself in that work. So it wasn't like shifting my business. I still teach the same things that I've been teaching, because there's a lot of it is evergreen foundational work that you have to, you know, do. And then there's the tools that come and go, and come and tactics that come and go. And that's where the adventure piece comes in for me. And,
well, you know, and I love that distinction, and what I'd love to have you share about, because I remember a few years ago when I hired a very high-priced business consultant who I've been together with Karen now for 28 years. We legally got married a few years ago, and I kept that very private. It was kind of, there was that separation between sharing that part of my life and my business. And this consultant, you know, she said, you need to get out of your own way. You need to show who you really are. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to lose people from my list. And she goes, yeah, you are. She goes, but you're also going to gain a community of people who appreciate you for who you are and your transparency. And I remember the day that I actually sent a message out. It was labeled, I'm coming out. And then the message started with, oh, no, it's not that. I did that years ago. What I'm coming out with is a new consulting package, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I got to tell you, that day I had quite a few opt-outs. I mean, people were like, oh, I can't believe this. And other people were like, oh, my gosh, thank you so much. I have a brother. I have a sister. And all of a sudden, it opened up a whole different level of dialogue. The same thing happened around my rescue animal. So talk to us about how somebody walks through their, if they will, their own barriers to really being transparent, and where enough is enough. Because I think some people like use the internet as therapy rather than really just using it as a tool to build community.
Yeah. Well, I have always been a private person. So because I'm an introvert, and until I get to know people really well, but also I've worked at being able to unleash my inner extrovert, you know, for public speaking, that sort of thing. But, you know, walking through that, I think it's important to know, be very clear on what your boundaries are and why they're your boundaries, and then what you want to share with people. So it's not about hiding something. It's just like, well, that's none of your business. You know?
Right, right.
I don't need to, you know, it's not that I'm not transparent, but I'm very transparent and certain areas, and that's what I choose, and that's what attracts the people who like that, and that's fine, you know. And it's interesting, because once I really you know, made the shift to the more casual, but like the real me is really casual. I don't wear suits. I've given away every single suit I had when I was in the blog squad. I no longer own a suit, you know, just as an example. And now I'm like much more casual, and people don't like that. That's fine. That's okay. Bye-bye. But since doing that, my community has become much more vocal in their appreciation of me and longer lasting. Like, they work with me a lot longer now. You know, so I think it's really about deciding who you are. Well, tapping into who you are really and how that impacts your business. So I didn't change my business. I just changed the way I talked about it, which was much more you know, for lack of a better word, authentic.
I like that. I like that. I didn't change my business. I just changed the way I talked about my business. And, it, you know, so let's dig into why building a community is so important. And some people call it the community. Some people call it a tribe. Some people call it your market. What's the reason somebody would do that? And then how do they know what they should set as goals, and what's the whole process?
Okay. Well, you know, if you want to achieve anything online anymore, you know, there's so much competition for eyeballs. You know, when we started out, Kathleen, you know, it was a less busy space. And now it's just, you know, there's gazillion, you know, messages being thrown at us day in and day out. So in order for you to actually make an impact, you need to find those people who want that message and need that message and appreciate that message and want to share that message. So that's where it comes in to building your community or tribe. You know, tribe was sort of put out there by Seth Godin a while back. Tribe isn't really a word I like to use, but community really suits me more than that for that. But the reason that it's really important to gather that community around you rather than hoping, you know, that they find you is because they need their fans, right? And especially when we're talking about authors' work, is that you want to identify who those fans are of your work, who responds to your work, and who's willing to share your book. Exactly, share your book and your work. So you need to give them a space where they will feel connected to you, the author. And they don't need to have thousands of people in them. I mean, some do, some don't. You know, 50, you know, rabid fans can do a heck of a lot for an author too. But
right.
By pulling them together so that they meet each other and you, you know, not instead of being sort of this aloof person like, well, I'm the author and I don't talk to the minions below there. I don't think anybody's probably on your call like that, but you know, sometimes they're, you know, big popular authors, you know, there's no connection with the fans. But we don't have that luxury necessarily, you know, to be a John Grisham or whatever. So we need to really reach out and find those people who really love what we're doing, because those people are going to connect with you on a much more intimate level and become your loyal advocates. And that is really super essential for creating buzz, word of mouth, that kind of thing.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you mentioned how early on it was actually it was a lot easier to get through the noise because there was no noise. And I look back and you were probably one of the first women online, and then I was one of the early adopters also that who were visible. I mean, we actually had made a name for ourselves without that, you know, I don't know if that was our intention. We just did what we did.
Yeah.
And today there's so much competition. You know, it's so interesting because I have a lot of spiritual people on my list, and I consider myself to be spiritual, and some people go, I have no competition, and it's like, BS, you have competition. It's like, and the competition may not be what you think it is. When I was working in the cosmetic dentistry industry, I would ask the dentist, who are your competitors? And they'd always name another dentist. I said, no, it's the new car. It's the down payment on the house, because cosmetic dentistry is very expensive. So it's thinking outside of the normal constraints. And I was thinking, actually, because of you and being so visible about your running, I actually kind of got the bug for the sport and did my first marathon at 61. And I'm still doing running. And I smartened up. I'm only doing half marathons. But I was thinking, and I recently hired a weight training coach. And he has shared with me, he goes, as an older woman, he goes, it's going to be longer for you to get the results. You can get the results, but it's going to be longer. And I thought, you know, it's the same thing with the internet. Early on, when we were young, when the internet was young, it was easier. Today, not necessarily impossible. It just is more strategic from my perspective.
Yeah.
What do you think
it's,
about that?
It's not impossible, but it takes a long-term commitment. You know, I'm working with about four or five authors right now to help them build their audience. And, you know, it's like after a month, it's like, this isn't working. I'm like, well, you started with zero, and there's about 5 million other people out there competing mm-hmm. with a similar message. So it's not a quick process anymore. It's about, you know, really, you know, going after the right audience. But the key is you can't just, you know, spray and pray, you know, publish a bunch of content and then hope that people see it and go to your website and join your email list and all that. You have to engage now. Like, there's just, you cannot not engage. So, I mean, and that's a big thing that we can talk about in a few minutes, but because that comes in after you've built the group. But, you know, it's not a matter of, people don't just join you, join your list, join your group, join your community just because. You know, it has to be very compelling for them because they've got a lot of other options now.
Well, let's talk specifically about somebody who wants to market a book, and they're working on, because like I'm working on a memoir right now, mm-hmm. and that's a big leap from where I'm at, from my business mm-hmm. books, my spiritual books. I mean, because there's a big reveal in this book, and I, you know, I'll leave it at that, but it's a big reveal.
Ooh.
And it won't even be published for a few more months, and already I'm working on building the community, I'm building the messaging, I'm mm-hmm. building a list around it. What are strategies for the authors that are on this call and those that will be listening to the replay that somebody can use if they have no community? What would you recommend to them?
Well, I mean, it always goes back to starting what's the purpose and what's your goal. So we're going to be talking today. I just want to focus on Facebook groups.
Okay.
And that is probably one of the most effective way of creating that space for your fans. So the thing is, you've got to know why you're creating the community. You know, it's not just like, oh, I want people to buy my book. Well, you know, because that's never going to work. I just have to have a community so they buy my book. You know, what you're looking for, and it could be lots of different things. Maybe it's to start building relationships. It's to, you know, build out that community who will advocate for you. It could be establishing yourself as an expert. I mean, these are goals for groups. It could be just to share your blog posts or drive traffic or to grow your email list, to launch your book, you know, or to find products. And, of course, selling your products and books is really important too. But, you know, I was doing some research, you know, knowing we were going to be talking about this. I just wanted to get a sense of different ways that different authors were using Facebook groups, because everybody's got a different agenda, right? So, you know, one of the things I really like, and I did this with one author I worked with too, is about building, you know, you can use a group to build a street team. So a street team is like a group of fans that have raised their hand and said, I want to help you promote your book because I believe in your message so much. So that the goal for a street team is to create word of mouth buzz for the book. And they're motivated by their love for you as the author. So that is one way to build a community put together that space for those people who are going to help you and help each other. So, you know, and there's different ways to use that. The other type of way that authors are using groups is to create an author fan club. So that's not really a street team. They're more like groups of people or readers who will, want to be part of your world. They're not really, you're not expecting them to help with promotional activities, but they join because they want to interact with you, they want to discuss your books, and they want to meet like-minded people. So that's a slightly different. So a street team is really about promotion. It's about, you know, giving the street team the tools and the content that they can use to help, you know, move the word out. But the fan club is more about building the relationship with your readers specifically. If you create a book series, you can create reader groups, and those are people who like to discuss the books, and they're looking for, that continuity of, you know, when's the next one in the series coming out, and they want to be the first to know about the updates and, you know, that kind of thing. So they're looking at, the long term. It's not just a one book thing. It's the long term. And then there's also groups that are reading groups in that they read together. So, like, it's, this week we're reading chapters 1 through 3, and then we discuss it on Friday, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's a different kind of reading group. And then another group, and this goes to the the popularity of challenges, but creating a group that works on a specific objective related to your book. So, if you've got a diet book, a 10-day diet book or whatever, you can create a group that is, buys your book and then works through the process in the book. So it could be like a coaching process or a spiritual process or whatever. And that is like a really specific challenge kind of group, and that can get people involved. So those are ideas.
I was taking notes feverishly. I love it. The street team, the fan club, Now, what I'm wondering in the groups, are the algorithms changing within groups where remember early on when you'd get a whole bunch of friends and everybody would see your message, and it's the same with your page. If people liked it, they would see your message, and then the algorithms changed and maybe a small percentage actually did. Is that happening in groups, or are groups pretty well protected where once you form that group, most everybody is going to see the message? How does that all work?
So with groups, and the reason why groups on Facebook specifically have really exploded in popularity is that unlike pages, group updates appear in members' news feeds. So when somebody posts in the group, or when you post as the author, you post to the group, that shows up and if I'm the member, then I see that in my newsfeed. So you don't need to pay for boosting or anything. The other thing is that people will receive notifications when there's new update to the group if they haven't opted out of those notifications. So that's always a personal challenge. Now, you can direct people in your group, like, okay, we're going to be, posting XYZ every week, so make sure you have your notifications turned on so you don't miss anything. And you can make a screenshot or a tutorial on how to make sure that your notifications are turned on. It's about educating the people in your group of how to use the group, too.
Well, and it's interesting because what just struck me is that this does take work, and this is where I think a lot of people lose sight of how beneficial all of this can be, is they try something once, they don't get the result that they're thinking they should get, and so they throw in the towel rather than saying, okay, how can I be really strategic? For example, with my memoir, I have very, very specific goals with that, where the memoir is at the end of my whiteboard, and I revert on the right side. I reverse engineer what are all the different ways that I'm going to build a list, how am I going to build my groups, how am I going to get engagement so that when the memoir comes out, that when we do the big blast, people are going to go, oh, my God, this is the book I've been waiting for.
Exactly.
So, Talk a little bit, if you would, about, well, I want to take a step back. Lou Bortone, mm-hmm. who we know and love, is doing a 30-day Facebook Live challenge. Mm-hmm. And when you mentioned about doing activities in the group, what is your take on doing Facebook Lives within a group so only the group people can see it, and how would you use Facebook Lives for that?
Oh, my gosh. Doing it in a group is perfect. You know, I mean, because that's the most intimate you can be is a live video. That mm-hmm. is the most, that is the most intimate connection you can create with the people in your group. So, you know, it depends on the topic of your book and where you are in the process. But, you know, an author might give a weekly live video update on where things stand. You know, well, you know, I had a setback this week. I got writer's block, blah, blah, blah. You know, how do you deal with that? Or it could be, you know, I got the cover design this week. Here it is. What do you think? Give me your opinion. You know, so it's about really engaging the people in your group with what's happening right now, because it's immediate. It's not something that happened last week, or it's not something that's coming out in 2 months. You know, it's like, this is what's going on today. The other thing, like especially for nonfiction writers, is doing kind of ask me anythings or Q&As about the topics of your book. So it's not like you're telling them exactly what's in the book, but it's like, well, the book is on sales, you know, or whatever. Or the book is about, you know, whatever it is, dog training. And so you can have conversations about that. That actually could also generate new content for your book by the questions you get. And I just want to back up on something you said, that you're starting now. Your book is coming out in a few months. And the earlier you start, the better. All of this goes back, you know, people always often come to me and say, okay, my book's going to be published next week. I need help launching it. I was like, okay, do you have a Facebook page? No, I hate Facebook. Okay, do you have an email list? Well, why do I need one of those? I'm being a little bit sarcastic here, but I have heard, I've had these conversations exactly.
I've
like
been
that.
There, done that with all, with a lot of authors. I get it. And so, authors, as you're listening in, please, please hear this. You've got to start as soon as possible. In the Book Accelerator program, I have a pre-launch whole section, and that's where most of the heavy lifting takes place.
Yes.
It's like most of the work is going to be done pre-launch, moving into the launch.
Exactly. So, you know, if you've been on social media for a long time and, you know, you have people following you and all that, that's great. Now you need to corral the right people from all those people and put them into another space, and that's like the group. And, you know, also the other thing I wanted to say, why I recommend this, using face groups for this, is because there's like 2 billion monthly active users in Facebook. So what, you got to be where the people are. Mm-hmm. The other part of that, though, is that if your book is super business oriented, you know, business to business, that sort of thing, and you say, well, my people aren't on Facebook, they probably are. But you can also apply this to like LinkedIn groups, you know, apply what we're talking about. It's a little bit different, but, you know, you could do it there, you know, too. But we're just talking about Facebook because it's so popular, you know, it's like, people, it's, you know, it's where the people are. Let's just take care of that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So how does somebody go about building a group? You know, if they've never done it before, what would you advise to them?
Okay, so this is the trick. It's how do you find the people? How do you get the people to actually join your group? And there's lots of different ways to do it. So I'll give you a couple of examples. So I wanted to start a Facebook group for people interested in building their visibility, and it's a free group. You know, it's not, there's nothing, you don't have to buy anything to, but you have to join my free 7-day visibility challenge in order to get an invitation to the group. So because my thing is also, you know, being old school, is building a list. Because not only is it old school, it's still the most effective way to market your business and services and products. So I want people to get on my list because people don't buy from social media. very much. I mean, it's a much harder sell. So I make it a prerequisite to get into my group where I will promote their stuff, their content, I will teach them, I will answer questions, and it's all free, but they have to join the 7-Day Visibility Challenge first. And that's where I deliver daily prompts via email for the challenge. And that's free. So that is one way to do it. And so in every email, there's a link to join the group. And probably I've got about 30% of the people who have joined the challenge also join the group. I'd like to get that up higher. And I've got a trick for that. I'm going to implement something new I learned about, which I'll tell you about. Another example is one of my clients. I helped her launch her book a couple years ago. Her name is Lisa Douthat, and her book is Wellness Warrior, Fighting for Life in Fabulous Shoes. And it's a memoir on her journey with illness, 3 bouts of cancer, and autoimmune disease. And, you know, she will never get over the autoimmune disease. But she published her memoir, which is hysterical, but also filled with just really, really good advice, on her birthday. So she chose a specific day, you know, where it could be a big celebration and all that. But what we did is I advised her to start a tribe. So it's the Wellness Warrior Tribe, and it is open to anybody who, as she says, is looking for a dose of empowerment and support. And there's a lot of people out there who are suffering with autoimmune disease and chronic disease. And so her group built really fast. Not all those people bought her book, but eventually they're all going to end up buying it, you know, because they are highly activated by her. So it's really, it's built around the topic of her book more than the book itself. And she's super active, but the initial way she is building the group is it's everywhere on her website. You know, join the Wellness Warrior group, you know, click here to sign up and get your invitation. She also invites people through social media as well. So there's tons of ways. So you've got to decide what your purpose is, going back to that. You know, for me, it's list building as well as serving these people, you know, the people who join. But I want people on my list, my email list, right, because that's the one asset I control. You know, Facebook could go away. You know, Facebook could decide they don't like the way I'm using groups and shut it down. And if I didn't have those people on my email list, I'd lose. I'd have lost a huge asset of people who, you know, wanted to be connected to me. So that's why I really focus on the email part first. But so, you know, starting a group is, and filling your group, it's like promoting anything that you're doing. So instead of promoting a book or a product or your service, you're promoting a group, a free community where those people who want to can interact with you. And this is really important. You have to participate. You know, it's not like, oh, get everybody in the group and then leave.
And then
you
do
know,
nothing.
And hope, and hope that they, you know, interact with themselves. The point is
they play nice among themselves.
Yeah. Here, help each other out. You know,
I'd like to really focus on for just a moment is mm-hmm. with the Wellness Warrior author. You mm-hmm. said she invites people in a number of different ways, that she's constantly mm-hmm. looking for ways to bring people in the group. And I really, really want to drive that point home for people, because I see this with people marketing books in what, if we will, traditional online ways mm-hmm. Without using social media. And they send out one message and they think – I worked with an author once that we put this whole plan together. And you know as well as I do that I'm really good at book marketing. I mean, this is what I do. And my last book, the back end sales were over $200,000. And, you know, front end I had tens of thousands, back end I had a couple hundred thousand. And it's all very strategic. And so we put this plan together, and she just dug her heels in, wouldn't do the work. It was my biggest flop with a client that I had, and she sold 8 books on an Amazon campaign. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And then she said, well, this stuff doesn't work. And we looked at what she did. She did nothing. She sent out one message. She never built her list. And so I really want to emphasize to folks that it really is about looking for as many avenues that are appropriate for your community to drive them to the location you want them to be, to engage them, and to really have fun while you're doing this. Because, you know, a lot of people, they go in with this attitude, oh, this is going to be so awful and it's going to be so hard. And if you make it fun, if you make it a game, it really becomes, if you will, excuse this word, but joyful. I love engaging my community. So, can you address a little bit more about the importance of many different avenues leading to the end result you're looking for?
Oh, yes. You've got to go for as many as possible. You know, Lisa's advice is, like, the best thing is to stay in front of your community and let go of anything else you're doing that doesn't impact your people. So, you know, it's staying active in your community once it starts building, because those people will invite and tell other people to join. But also, you know, use all the assets you have. So, you know, it's like talking about your community on social media, recording videos to promote it. You know, how, whether you're promoting, like for me, I promote my challenge. I don't promote the community. Once they join the challenge, then the then I promote the community. So it's because that's my way. But so I'm constantly promoting something else, like this free thing, and then the community is the bonus. So you want to use social media. You want to use video. Video is going to be very powerful. So, you know, listen to Kathleen and join Lou's 30-day live video. Facebook Live video, whatever you think. I'm in it too. I can't.
It's Facebook Live, and it's free. That's the kicker. It's free.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh. And he was asking, what's your greatest concern? And mine is that I'm going to be doing it too much. You know, because I love video. I love, you know, put me in front of a camera and like, there I go.
Right.
I've been that way since I was a kid. So, you know, this is a match made in heaven. But seriously, it's like, I will post the link for everybody, but join Lou's challenge. It's going to be off the charts amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, the other things you can do, well, of course, you should go for your low-hanging fruit, which is everybody who's on your list already, to let them know that it exists. Because if you, you know, start a group and you don't tell the people who've already connected with you and raised their hand and said, hey, I'm, you know, want to join you, well, then you're leaving off, you know, probably some of your biggest fans. So you want to do that. You can put something on, if you have a resource page, resources that you recommend, you can put links there. One of the things I do is on anything that people opt in, on the thank you page, I say, here's what's next. Join my 7-day visibility challenge. That's
wonderful.
On every single thank you page. And then the invitation to be in the Facebook group is on every single email they get from me after that. So that's a really, you know, use those pages on your site that, you know, don't go with the default, thank you very much, look for your email. I mean, you know.
Yeah, you know, I do the same thing on my thank you page.
Yeah.
It's like, check your inbox for your thing, whatever your thing
is.
And I have a logo, the Facebook logo with join our Facebook group, and then it connects right to the group. So I kind of bypass a step, but I like your process of, get them into something that's going to teach them. And good.
Yeah, because what I'm doing in my group, so since I have a challenge, the daily emails of the challenge, I say, okay, here's your lesson for today, blah, blah, blah. Now, after you complete this, go post a link to it on this link in the group, and then I will share it.
Cool.
I'm bribing people.
Well, you know, hey, bribes are a good thing.
No, but I sincerely, you know, it's all about visibility. So I want people to, I want to help them get more visibility. But if I don't know that they've done it, then I, you know, how can I help them? You know, how can I share it with my people? Or how can I give them feedback if I see something's missing? And I do that. You know, if somebody posts a link to, you know, their repurposed content on Medium or something, and there's something wrong with it, I tell them, you know, not just like, oh, yeah, great, I shared it. It's like, you know, you need to put this in, and this would help if you did this and that sort of thing. So
that's
they're getting
awesome.
free, you know, consulting, you know,
well, you
if
know,
they
and,
participate,
and
if they participate.
That is so incredibly valuable because, you know, you charge a substantial amount. I charge a substantial
mm-hmm.
amount. And for people to be able to get that, quote, unquote, free consulting, take full. That's why when I join groups and challenges,
mm-hmm.
I'm actually one of the most vocal because I'm going to absorb everything I possibly can,
right.
And take full. And I'm going to contribute too. That's the big key. And so I want to open it up to questions very shortly. But before
sure.
we do, what I'd like to do now, there's some people who they're completely getting everything that you're talking about. It's like, okay,
mm-hmm.
I've done this for a while and I get it. Other people are brand new to it and they're going, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, this is way too much. I know
yeah.
I've been at that place at periods in my, my business where I'm just going, give me the first two or three things I need to do. So let's assume that people have never done this before. Give them three steps of what they can do to start today to really make the whole community on Facebook and groups work for them.
Okay, so the first thing is to decide what you want to get out of your group. You know, is it relationships? Is it a street team? You know, really look at it. Is it a fan club? You know, think about those things that we talked about, the street team, the fan club, reader group, you know, because I don't know what kind of books y'all are writing. So, you know, decide what that looks like and how you want to put that, what kind of people you want in that group. And then, yeah, I don't want to get into technicalities how to set up a group because that's, you know, it's not hard. You go find a link on Facebook that says start a group, create a group. But we'll just assume that you can figure that out. If not, you know, hit me up on my Facebook page and I'll tell you where to find it. And that's at Adventures in Visibility on Facebook. But then take a look at who's already in your network that you can invite into the group immediately that you know will wants to support you. So I always go for those people that I already, like my colleagues. If I was, you know, was publishing a book soon, I'd be like, okay, I'm starting a street team. I'm going to need some help marketing my book. And, you know, Kathleen, would you like to be on my street team? I'd love to have you because I know how great you are at this. You know, so I'd send a personal email. So I'd look for the people to seed the group initially. And then from there, I'd go into a marketing plan of, you know, some of the things that we've talked about for building out the group.
Fantastic. Now, before we open it up for Q&A, and I'll be monitoring that by people raising their hand, how can
mm-hmm.
people reach you, Denise? Because it's like I'd love for them to join your Facebook group. You're brilliant at what you do, and I mean that. I've told
you
that from the beginning of knowing you. You know, I'm one of your biggest fans, and I just appreciate all that you do because you're the real deal. The thing that I really want people to look at are the fly-by-nights, the people that they appear to know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Look at their track record. Look at how long they've been in the game. And, yeah, you can be in the game for a short period of time and hit one home run, and then you play on that for years to come. Well, the reality is, can you sustain the ups and downs of what's going to happen in your business? And, Denise,
yeah.
you've done it. So please let people know how they can reach you.
Well, I am listed as Denise Wakeman on all social platforms, so you can – you know, just go to Facebook, you know, type in Denise Wakeman, you'll find me. My Facebook page is at Adventures in Visibility. So it's facebook.com/Adventures in Visibility. My website is denisewakeman.com.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Okay. So questions, if anybody has a question, just raise your hand by pressing *2 and I will unmute you. And I know we have a few people in here who love asking questions, and I really appreciate that because you kind of get the ball going. And other people sit back and they say, oh, I hope somebody asked that question. If the question doesn't get asked, step forward. And, you know, it's like don't sit on the sidelines of any of this. Get engaged. Make it happen. Go out and do what you're here to do. So the first thing you can do is ask the questions. You've got an amazing, amazing person on the line here with me that is here to answer your questions, so take full advantage of it. Press *2 to raise your hand, or you can send a question in through the Q&A box if you did access. Okay, Michelle says, she's from Sydney, I have a group relevant to my book, Eating Disorder Recovery Group, Illuminating Anorexia book, but have not promoted my book in the group. It feels salesy, and I struggle to know how to introduce it. What do you suggest? How do you promote your group?
Okay, so how did you get people into the group to begin with? So, I mean, if the group is built around the topic of the book, then I think that you're doing a disservice by not letting them know about the book. Now, you don't have to be super salesy, but you could talk about, you know, something in the book or refer to it. So if you're having a conversation in the group about something that refers to it, say, well, you know, in chapter 3, I go over this really detailed, who has read this so far yet, or something like that. You can also use visuals to share information about your book, tips from your book. So it's not like this is, you know, go buy my book. It's like, here's, you know, tip, you know, number 642 from the name of your book and the link to your book, and then just give the tip. Don't say go buy it, but you're just, you know, sharing information from it. Tips, creating visual tips from your book are a really good way to, one, remind people that the book exists, and two, remind them how to use your book.
Excellent, excellent. And something I did in the month of July is a 30-day blog challenge, and what I did is every blog posting I did the permalink. I put the permalink in my Power Up for Profit Facebook group. And
absolutely,
inside the blog post, I had links to books. I had links to my giveaway, whatever it may be. I made sure that I was consistent with that. So that's another thing, Michelle, that you could do. So next question Michelle has is, how do you get emails from your Facebook group members? Did I miss that? So what's your recommendation? You've got people in your Facebook group. How do you get their emails?
Okay. So if you did not get the emails before you sent them to, before they joined the group, then that is going to be an ongoing process that you're going to use. So if you have a, you know, a free gift or newsletter or something like that that you give away in exchange for an email, then you need to remind them every now and then that they can get that. You know, hey, have you signed up to get the free blah, 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 you know, and that'll get them onto your email list. So if you didn't do it first, then you've got to work at, you know, I would say, you know, at least once a week, there should be some kind of call to action to get on the list.
Perfect. Okay. And this comes from Jeff from Wisconsin. I started a group earlier this year. I am looking for ways to get more people into the group now that I've exhausted my current list, and I am looking for ways to get people active. So far, I have 2 to 3 active members, and the rest of the members are wallflowers. I love the idea of inviting people to a challenge as an entry point to the group. Do you drive paid traffic to the challenge? How can I increase engagement? Great question.
Okay, so for my challenge group, I don't do that much paid traffic, but I just promote the challenge, you know, every once in a while on all my social networks. Doing videos helps around that, and I also create tips that are related to the challenge. So I don't do a lot of paid traffic that way, since it's a free thing. You know, I'm cheap, but the thing with engagement is that you have to participate every single day. and so that it's about like sharing prompts, asking them things. You don't want to ask questions that will take up a lot of time and energy, brain energy, people will not respond to that. So you want to, you know, create conversation starters. One group that I'm not that active in it anymore, but I'm still in it. The group, the person who started the group, is she has every day of the week. There's this, you know, it's Monday, it's this question. On Tuesday, it's that statement with a fill in the blank. On Wednesday, it's this. On Thursday, it's that. On, you know, Friday, it's another thing. And she's got an image, you know, she has a visual image for that, and every, like, the first thing in the morning. And now in groups, you can schedule posts. I just discovered that today. So you could set them up in advance. But, you know, every Monday, it's consistent. It's, you know, Monday motivation. On Tuesday, it's travel Tuesday. On Wednesday, it's whatever, you know. And it's that helps keep people, or helps people understand what kind of interaction you're looking for. So that's a big piece. And I don't know, other engagement things are making sure that you are engaged with people. So asking questions or calling out people, posting, you know, every time a new member joins, you know, greeting them in the group, you know, welcoming them, saying, hey, you know, new member alert, you know, please share who you are and why you're here, that kind of thing. Respond to people, other people's posts in the group to make sure that they feel heard by you. So those are a few ways.
Okay. And do you happen to have, Denise, any statistics on percentage-wise when there, let's say there's 100 people in a group, percentage-wise, how many will actually be actively involved, even though the other people may be reading the content and everything, but the, you know, there's always going to be that group of people that they're more visible?
I don't have that information,
okay.
But I would be willing to bet it falls in the 80-20 rule.
I was thinking like 99.9 don't, and then because this blog challenge I just did, there are 11 or 12,000 people in the group, and there were 10 of us that consistently every single day posted something, and I thought shocking.
Yeah.
And the owner of the group, the host, very active, really encouraged people, really supported people, and that was just the name of the game. Another group that I belong to, it's kind of the same thing. I'm already seeing that in the video challenges I'm in, too, where there's a handful of people that are actually getting involved, visibly involved.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean other people aren't. So I think the one thing that you want to be really careful of, this would be for Jeff and everybody else, is don't assume that you're not doing it right if you don't have a lot of people jumping on board and waving their own flags. I had a conversation with a woman the other day who has, I don't know, 300 people in her group, and she has like 20 or 30 that are involved. And I said, my gosh, you're ahead of the curve from everything else.
Yeah, 10%.
Yeah. So, okay, let's see if there's other questions. Lou from Maryland says, for a beginner in terms of dedicating time to make this happen, how many hours a day or a week would you say Facebook calls to action my engagement take? Okay, how much time should Lou and everybody else spend to really grow their community?
I would block off 30 minutes a day.
Excellent.
Because in the beginning, it's going to take more time, but then, you know, once you've got your system set up, so let's say you've got, you know, an invitation already set up on your thank you pages, you know, you don't have to play with that anymore. You know, that's going to be working for you every time somebody signs up for something. But you will want to figure out your engagement process, and, you know, that takes a little bit of time, and then check in, you know, figure out the time that you're going to check into your group and answer or provoke, or, you know, I'll often, you know, just call out people and say, hey, you know, I was thinking about you so-and-so, or somebody asked me about this, and here's a link, I found an article about that, here it is, or, you know.
Perfect.
Just, you know, really keeping it up, because this is your group, you're the host, so it's your thing, that if you want people to interact, then you got to be, you know, testing a lot of, the polls are really good. You know, there's a polling feature in in Facebook groups. And that's a really good way to get people, you know, started too.
Excellent.
Ask them a question and then set up a poll for answers.
Excellent. And I like to use checklists. Like, I have a morning routine. As free form as I like to think I am, I really am very structured in the way I do my life. And my day starts with, and just to kind of give people an idea that this is what leads into being so effective and productive in my business, is I start my day by doing a morning meditation, like day in, day out. Mm-hmm. The next thing I do is the animals get fed, because if they don't, they get pretty upset. The next thing I do actually is I'll work on a blog post. So it's like I've taken care of really getting myself centered before I get into doing anything that I'm trying to be creative in. From there, I do my exercise. Without fail, 6 days a week, I'm going to do something that will take up 45 minutes to an hour of my time to physically get myself centered. And a lot of times people say, well, I just don't have time for this or that. I find when I don't make the time, the rest of my day goes to poo-poo. When I make the time, it's amazing how productive I can be. Then I have my checklist of the things that I absolutely must do in order to grow my business. So my recommendation to everybody is look at what you need to do on a consistent basis and really look at how you're using your time, because I actually have done this with clients where they're saying, oh, I just don't have time to do this, that, and the other. So I kind of lurk and I spy on them and I see what they're doing on social media. It's like, are you serious? You just spent 2 hours farting around. It's like that 2 hours could have been used to build your group. So really look at how you're using your time and are you being as efficient and honest with yourself as possible. Okay, let's see if there's other questions that people have. Go ahead, Denise.
Really, you know, visibility and, you know, growing anything is about visibility. It's about, you know, if the opportunities that you're trying to attract yourself and having a group is going to help you attract a certain type of opportunity or sales or people helping you promote your book. It's all about consistency. And it's just like day in, day out, day in, day out. I do something every single solitary day. Mm-hmm. You know, I put something out somewhere and usually in multiple places because it pays off. I had somebody contact me, didn't know their name, I didn't know who they were, contact me and say, oh, we'd love to have you on our podcast. I looked on their website. I'm like, okay, I'll be on your podcast. And, you know, the first question I asked them when we, you know, started the interview is, well, you know, I don't remember how did you find me? It's like, oh, I see you everywhere. I mean, seriously, it's like, I've been talking about that. I see you everywhere for years and years. And that's exactly what they said. Oh yeah, we see your content. You're just so prolific. You know, I see
right. Stuff
everywhere all the time. And I'm just so amazed by that. And you're so consistent. I'm like, yeah, that's why I do it. You know,
and it's true. You are very, very visible and, you know, thus the adventures in visibility. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like when I started doing stuff in the pet space, that was not an intention of mine. It was really about just bringing that side of my life out. And you know the story behind this, and most of my community knows the story, but we had found this dog at our doorstep, didn't even know what she was. Turns out she was a puppy mill Shih Tzu, and she had been bred till almost dead. And she was in terrible shape. One thing led to another. We found out her blood work was great, so we had some surgery done on her to remove tumors, and it required 2 surgeries to the tune of about $2,000 each. So I put it out to my community, and I said, I'm going to create this product. I don't know what's going to be in it. It's going to be something to do with Kindle, blah, blah, blah. And I just put this story out there and started raising money. I did a GoFundMe, and I did a thunderclap and the whole 9 yards. And Yvonne DeVita reaches out to me and she goes, we'd like you to come and speak at Blog Pause. And I'm like, what's Blog Pause? And you had already spoken there. And I remember I reached out to you and said, what's Blog Pause? And so anyway, as it turns out, because of sharing my story about dog rescue, about horse rescue, about animals, I now do a lot in the pet space. And I'm so happy when I'm in that space where I don't do corporate anymore, and if I ever do corporate again, it's by my rules. It's not by their rules. And so that's the beauty of really identifying your passions. That's the beauty of being transparent in what you're doing and being very consistent, because here's the deal. Here's the deal. A book is a part of your business model. It is not your business. A book is a means to an end, which is to get your message out there. And the online space offers all of us the opportunity to communicate our beliefs, our point of view, and our perspective, and you have to be consistent. So, you know, Denise, I think you've really brought that point home, and I would encourage anybody, if you have a question, please, okay, Michelle Sparks is putting star 2. You've got to do it on your phone, Michelle, for me to unmute you, and let me see if I can see you, because I don't see that you're... You need to be on the line for me to do that, and I don't see that, Michelle. So you'd have to dial in. Let's see. Michelle says, thank you for your great advice so far. I'm trying to press star 2 so I can be more present in the questions. You would need to dial in on the phone number, Michelle. And being in Sydney, I don't know if they have a line that comes in. So I apologize for that. Anybody on the phone line who dialed in, please press star 2 to raise your hand. We've got about 5 more minutes. I want to respect Denise's time here. And Denise, I just want to say I so appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule.
My pleasure.
You're our kickoff speaker for Conversations Over Coffee. I just thought, who better than Denise Wakeman? This is awesome.
Oh, thank you. And it's been a while since we connected, so I was really happy to hear from you.
Well, I came up with an idea while we were doing this call. We should actually have a retreat in Peru and take people on a run, like a 5 and 10 mile run, and that's part of the retreat, so we can get our exercise in and then teach them all about this stuff, you know?
Hey, I'm there. But I don't know about running in Peru. The elevation is so high.
Well, then we'll find lower altitude.
Hiking.
Okay, for those people on the call, you heard it. It's the beginning. This is how ideas are created. Now, we can say, fun idea, laugh it off and not do anything, or Denise and I can actually brainstorm and bring something to market. So if you would love to have time with Denise and I both, be looking for some information, because I have a feeling that we are going to create something. Not sure what it is, but we will create something. Questions. I don't see any hands being raised. I'm going to look in the Q&A box one more time, and that's about it. Denise, I just so very much appreciate your time. I just value your friendship and your knowledge.
Likewise.
Tell people again how they can get in touch with you, your group, your whatever. Give them whatever.
Okay, so denisewakeman.com, and if you sign up for my free 7-day visibility challenge at boostyourvisibility.com, then you'll see how I do it. You'll see how I, work people into a group and all that stuff. So.
Excellent. Well, you have a great day, Denise. Thank you so much. And
you too.
I love you. You're right. And I'll do that run with you soon.
Back at
you. Have a great day.
Okay.
Bye-bye.